All right, we'll talk with Bruce Weber here in just a moment about the non-conference schedule that has been released. I will mention this. We had a caller that did not have a chance to go on there after the phone call from Ryan that brought up the point. I think this is really a better way of trying to say what I was saying in response to Ryan's point there. K-State went out and bring in Carlos Strickland, a transfer wide receiver from Cal, to upgrade the talent position at receiver. No questions asked. They could bring him in. That's part of the reason Corey Sutton then wanted to leave. But he doesn't have the power to then just up and leave and do what's best for him. I think that's trying to illustrate why I think the structure of everything with the NCAA is just skewed so far in favor of the schools that that's my big issue here. Corey Sutton can't act freely in his best interest there. The football program is able to act in their best interest by going out and bringing in transfers, bringing in more talent. And again, they are well within their rights to do so the way it is all set up. That's why I continue to just push farther up the ladder. This goes all the way up the top. And that is why the people like Jay Billis really get a hold of things like this, because he would like to see change in that aspect as well, and he's been the guy that pushes the most for that. That's why you're going to see this probably get made an example of in the name of people being frustrated and lashing out against the structure of the NCAA.
Well, as I feel on a lot of issues, I think the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any compromise on either side, because the NCAA has no interest in fixing this problem. The people who are on Corey Sutton's side have no interest in quieting their voices about it. It's going to get worse before it gets better, probably.
Well, again, if you missed any of Corey Sutton last segment, you can catch it on the podcast page, newsradiokman.com, the on-demand tab. For that, you've been hearing Mitch mention throughout the show that in the game sports updates, the non-conference schedule has been released for the upcoming basketball season, 2017-2018 season. We're joined now by K-State head men's basketball coach Bruce Weber with the schedule release, coach, and appreciate the time as always. How similar do you feel like this non-conference schedule is competition-wise to what you had last year?
I think maybe another step up. It's, you never know until you get get involved with it and get playing the games. But, you got probably highlights, obviously, the Vegas tournament. You know, Xavier was one of the better teams in the country. Arizona State, of course, Pac-12, and then George Washington won 20 games last year. So, and then even the preliminary games, you're playing a Cal Irvine team that won 21 games, I think, and won their league, and they'll be coming to our place. And then, you have you got the game with Tulsa in Wichita, and Frank Hayes, I think, feels like his team is going to take another step, and you're playing a series with them where we have them in Wichita, then at their place, and then we get them back at home 3 years from now. And then the road game at Vanderbilt, and it was an NCAA team last year, and that really should have won their game. If you remember, the kids, made the crazy decision at the end of the game and gave Northwestern a win. And then you're at Washington State, another Pac-12 team. And then you got the SEC Challenge. You got the home game against Georgia. So, Mark Fox coming back to K-State again. They'll have one of the best big men in the country. Somebody who put his name in to the NBA draft and took it out. So, I think it'll be good for our guys, and with our team, we got some veterans, but you got a lot of young guys, so we get some home games to start out, and you go to Vegas, see what you're about, and then you mix in some games there in December to build up for the conference play.
Coach, you've always said, or pretty frequently you've said, that scheduling is close to being as important as recruiting. And you try to schedule for the team that you have. Did you learn any lessons from last year's non-conference schedule, and did that impact anything that you tried to do with this year's non-conference schedule?
I think last year was pretty good for us. We were able to win some games, get some confidence. Some of it, when we scheduled St. Louis, that was for DJ and Xavier, and they had, won the Atlantic 10 back-to-back years and were top 25 RPI, and you didn't anticipate that drop as much. But, I felt it was a good schedule for us. And, you get your mixture. You get, we had the game with Maryland last year in the finals. And now you got a good tournament in Vegas. You've got a couple road games. I think it's important to get some road games. Obviously, we won road games, not only non-conference, but also won some road games in the league, and then I hope that helped prepare us. And if you talk to, you know, when we've been at Big 12 meetings, talk to the NCAA committee guys, it's important to get at least a couple road games and some good and some neutral games on your schedule beyond the conference. Obviously, our conference has been, what, number one, 3 out of the last 4 years, number two the other year. So you're getting plenty of top RPI teams in the conference schedule. And, you know, but you still need a few things. And I think that probably made the difference for us getting in the NCAA tournament last year.
Talking to Bruce Weber here on the game, you know, when the Big 12 SEC Challenge schedule came out here recently, took a lot of flack, it seemed like, just because the matchups do not seem to be all that appealing on paper for the most part. I'm just curious how much input you guys as coaches get on what those matchups are going to be.
Really none. You know, the only thing they asked us this year, it was the third year of the deal, that, you know, we'd like to go home away, or away, home. You know, you want to have some continuity. So they asked to get some different matchups. They asked if some teams would go back-to-back home or back-to-back road to kind of switch it around. And this is with everybody. You know, scheduling, you can't sit there and wait till May to find out if you have a home game or a road game in the non-conference, especially a high-profile game like that. But I know a couple teams in our league switched around. I think a little bit disappointed in Missouri with, you know, got Konzo Martin coming there, one of the top players in the country, and Porter coming there, and they're not even in it. So, but they wanted to switch up the matches. Kansas had played Kentucky a few times. Now you got West Virginia. You just give it some different taste for the schools and the fans, I think, more than anything.
Bruce Weber again talking with us on the game. We asked Drew Spira this when he was on with us a couple weeks ago now, and I know it turned into somewhat of a story, but putting Wichita State on the schedule, how open would you be from your perspective to doing that in the future?
I think we'd be interested. I've never like said no, we're not going to play him. I think it has to work for them and us, and I think in the future now, to me, everyone said, well, now they're in a different league. Does that make a difference? And I mean, I came from the Missouri Valley, so I had some appreciation for that. But I think in the future we definitely look at it and see if it makes sense. Whether it's you maybe a thing where you go Bramlage, Kansas City, Wichita, or something, a four game thing or just a one game situation. But it's something we can definitely talk about and look at.
Bruce Weber with us here on the game. Kamau Stokes, I know, has come back after putting his name into the NBA draft waters. They're testing the NBA draft waters. Have you had a conversation with him about just what kind of feedback he got? What did the NBA people tell him about he needed to work on in his game?
Well, I think it's more, when we talk to people, some of what we had the good fortune of, because of Wes's situation and so many teams interested in Wes and getting, background for it. Whether they're talking to me or Coach Lowry or Coach Fraser or whoever they're talking to, they kind of, talk about Kamau, or we would ask. And, I think the big thing, continue to get stronger, get a little more consistent, and, continue to improve his point guard skills. And I think he knew that, but sometimes you hear it from a different source, and from the NBA, I think it means a lot more. And, it didn't hurt anybody by him putting it in. A lot of kids that did it, I think ideally these kids all think that they're going to get workouts, but the NBA guys, they're worried about there's only two picks and, for each team, or three or whatever they have it depending on trades, but they don't have time to just bring all these guys in. So, it's probably a little disappointing for a lot of those young guys to put their name in hoping to get some workouts, which didn't happen. But I think it was good for him. And my biggest thing is to continue to motivate him. He had a great spring, and hopefully comes back. I know he's communicating him back being back in Baltimore. He's been working out there, and then they all report back this weekend. And summer school starts Monday. We'll start weights and workouts Monday and Tuesday. and get back at it again. So it should, you know, we're looking forward to it. I think I mentioned before, we had one of the best springs I've ever been involved with, you know, with a group 4 weeks, you know, kids really went at it, and we did a lot with skill development, got bigger in the weight room, led by Isaiah, had probably almost 20 pounds to gain. Dean looks bigger, Kamal looks bigger, Barry continues to improve his body and work on some things, so, you know, I think we felt good about it. Now they got to keep going, moving forward, taking that next step in this summer.
Before I let you go, you got Warriors or Cavs?
You know, I think deep down you got to go with the Warriors, but, you know, one of my guys, Darren Williams, is a part of the Cavs now, so I'll be cheering for them, and you know, I just hope it's exciting. You know, you got Barkley talking about hockey's more exciting than NBA playoffs. You know, I think everybody's hoping for a 6 or 7 game series and some close games, I'll be cheering for the Cavs and hoping Darren gets that title. It would be a great experience for him.
Hey, I'm on board with you. Go Cavs. Appreciate the time for joining us here, Bruce, as always.
Pardon me?
Oh, just appreciate the time for joining us, as always, Bruce. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Yeah, Isaiah, I don't know if Isaiah's been in Czechoslovakia, and he's been in Poland. They got 3 more games this weekend, so hopefully that's been a good experience. I texted them today, and we might have a couple other guys go later in August. So, you know, big summer coming up for us. So thank you, guys.
All right, take care. There is Bruce Weber with us here on The Game. Always appreciate his time. We'll roll on. Again, you can tweet us at The Game KMAN, JL Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, if you have thoughts on the Corey Sutton situation. We'll get back into that a little bit when we come back. Plus, I do need to reveal all these different hashtags that we've gotten about getting Michael Bishop to the College Football Hall of Fame. So we'll see if we have a consensus when we return here on The Game.